Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You son of a bitch.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
Bleeds. We can kill it.
Hello and welcome to the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
I'm John Star.
We're filmmakers, we're fans, and we're fighting aliens with dreadlocks this week.
As the best aliens do.
This is the first week of our... I was
October?
Trying to find like a
October.
First week of October, but like the horror month.
Horror
in quotation marks.
This one's my fault.
I mean,
isn't
we were
it?
Originally going to do Evil Dead, and then we're like, oh shit, the new Predator movie comes out. Let's do something that
horror,
syncs up with
thriller,
them.
Horror, thriller, action movie month.
Yeah. Well, only one of them really stands out as like a horror movie to me, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
later.
We'll get to that when we talk about our main
As always,
topic.
We always start by asking, what have you been watching? And Josh, what have you been watching this week?
In preparation for all of this, I just rewatched the entire franchise of this. So
the entire franchise.
I feel like this is going to be a hard week because...
Yeah, so I just rewatched the first Predator, Predator 2, AVP 1 and AVP Requiem, and then Predators. And that's me for this week. What have you been watching, Chancellor?
I have been preparing for the entire month up ahead. So
okay, yeah.
I'm not going to say which movies I've been watching because a lot of them in the future. I did rewatch, you know, Predator 2, Predators, Predator. I didn't watch AVP though.
Neither did I. I feel like my life is better for having not rewatched.
See, I still remember AVP, the first one, very clearly. I do too. I can remember it. AVP Requiem, not so much. I just remember the parts I hate. Either way.
Requiem's a lot more forgettable.
Like, yeah.
AVP is the one where the girl, she like gets like honored by the Predator.
Set up what happens in the comics and then go, oh no, let's just fuck that off for the Blob remake, but with aliens and Predators. But yeah, other than that, I've watched Horrible Bosses 2.
Have you seen that before?
I haven't seen two. I really like the first one.
Love the first one.
Second one, after watching it, I still feel like it was useless. I liked it a lot more than I was expecting.
It is kind of just a rehash of the same.
See, I like the fact thing. That like Chris it Prine's wasn't great. So much.
Oh yeah,
but the fact that they brought in Jennifer Aniston again and.
You had to with her character.
Well, no, what they did with it, because like at that point, I was like, oh yeah, Jason Bateman's character hadn't met her at this point, and now he's in love with her. Totally makes sense. I didn't hate it. I quite liked it a lot. I love the fact that they had like the build up to the heist scene, and when the heist goes wrong, it's just because everything they're doing is cheap and stupid. the wig was amazing. It was fine. Chris Pine was good. What's the fucking dad's name?
Christoph Waltz.
It wasn't until that point that I noticed how old Christoph Waltz was, because I was like, how is Chris Pine playing Christoph Waltz's son? And I looked it up, and they're like 20 years apart, so it totally makes sense. But because Christoph Waltz only came into the zeitgeist like, what, in the last 10 years?
Yeah.
I still feel like it's very young. Was good, not as good as the first one. Shane, what have you been watching?
I've been watching quite a lot outside of the movies.
Fuck you! Your time in your real life.
It's not my time, I realize it's the lack of a social life and the lack of a significant.
Oh, I just got sadder.
Jealous.
Go on your film, Shane.
I watched The Nun.
Cool.
It's good fun. Like, it's not terrific, and it does overuse a lot of like pan away, pan back, oh, there's something behind you kind of moments. It happened like 7 times throughout the movie, and after like the first 3, you're like, okay, we get it. But I had fun. I think Thaisa Farmiga commits. She kind of,
yeah.
It's not shot as well as the Conjuring movies or Annabelle 2. It's better than Annabelle 1, though, by a long shot. I think above all the others, it has some of the best use of color out of all of them, because there's this deliberate throw to the Italian horror movies of the 70s and the 80s, right. Especially because it's like the period piece. So they use this, there's a scene in a church and they just light it up red and yellow, and it's just a really interesting look. And it was fun. Like I saw it with like a packed cinema and everyone's kind of jumping at the right point. So it was just a really nice experience. I'm a sucker for even passable horror to me is better than a bad horror, which like what we'll be talking about next week. That'll be a fun story. I'm up to season 4 in It's Always Sunny. I think I just about finished it.
Yeah.
I love that show. It's just
amazing.
It's
amazing
so show. Good. I'm surprised Charlie Day has not got vocal nodules by now, because he's done 13 seasons of this, and basically every episode he just ends up yelling really fucking loud at somebody. But I love it. They did this episode in season 4 where it's like they're trying to pitch why their bar should be a heritage listed thing.
So they
basically do a flashback. It's to this story about how the Paddy's bar broke the Liberty Bell. Yeah. And so they just basically do a period episode with the whole cast as this bad fake told story to the thing. It's a really genius device to do a different kind of format. I'm on Trial and Error, that show I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. Finished season 1 and it was really, really good. And now I'm on season 2 and it's even better. And what's great about that show is the way they do running gags. So one of the characters is she's just got like this whole endless host of psychosomatic disorders. So she has, you know, like backwards cheerleader syndrome. She facial amnesia. She laughs, like her emotional reaction to something tragic is to laugh and all that kind of thing. And it's just this, it's one of the best running gags on TV at the moment, actually, just because it plays at really clever points.
Check it out.
And season 2 has Kristen Chenoweth. So what it is they're solving a case, and it's like a mockumentary following this lawyer as he's solving a case. And the first one is John Lithgow's apparently murdered his wife by throwing her through a plate glass window. And then they finish the case, and that kind of goes away. And then the next season is another case. And so the person whose case it is in season 2 is played by Kristen Chenoweth. And she's like this billionaire heiress who like runs the town, who everybody loves, who maybe possibly murdered her husband. And it's really, really good. It's a really clever, good, fun show. I started rewatching with the family. We started rewatching The Nanny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that's on Stan, and we're like, oh, because we used to watch that all the time growing
Throwback
up.
Throwback to a few weeks ago. How was the pilot?
Wait, what happened
of The Nanny?
A few weeks.
We talked about pilots. God, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. What's interesting is The Nanny is like a 50s sitcom made in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
It's
like Lucy.
Yeah. And it's good. Like, it kind of holds up, and some of the jokes still hold up. It's just because I think they're very character-centric jokes, especially Niles. Niles is easily the best, and him and Cece's dynamic is just...
And how it builds across the seasons as well.
And they end up getting it together.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fun. Like, it kind of holds up as a sitcom, which is hard to say for a show made like that early in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started watching a comedy show called Suburgatory, which is... Do you know of this?
I know the name because I think an actress I like is in there.
Oh, really?
I am IMDb-ing.
It's got the chick from Curb Your Enthusiasm, the one who plays Larry's wife. I don't know if you watch that. But it's basically like this city girl moves to the suburbs where it's just all like Red Bull lights and everyone waters their lawn all the time, even in the rain kind of thing.
Oh, it's the chick from Evil Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Alan Tudyk plays like a tan, like fake tan dentist guy who's like the best friend.
I remember it now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
It aired on like Channel 9 and stuff, like during the daytime. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. Like it's taking a little bit to get into the bigger laughs, but it's good. It's fine. Anyways, that's all I've been watching. So, Predator. Dun dun. We'll start off with like a brief overview of the Predator as a franchise. What?
Are we going on break? Or?
Are we gonna go? Oh, wait. No, no. Okay. Nope,
good.
No.
Hey, whoa.
Okay, well. Okay.
We're back.
that was quick. So a brief overview of the Predator as a franchise. And then we'll get into like movie by movie.
Very inconsistent genre-wise.
I realized that. I was like watching, because I've never seen them before.
That's correct. Yeah,
this week has been very eye-opening for you.
And I'm like, it's the most tonally inconsistent franchise I've ever seen. Even something like The Omen.
Even more than Thor Ragnarok? Thor?
Yeah, because there's still the dynamic of the brothers has been the same all through. It maybe gets more comedic or less comedic depending on... Like, so number one's sort of between 2 and 3. Yeah. And then either of those two are on the too serious and very funny. But there's a dynamic that kind of stays there in that British, the semi-Shakespearean tones kind of stay with it. Whereas this is like, the first one is like a hard-boiled Vietnam War movie almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second one is like cops in LA just
it's like,
shooting
it's almost
out.
Like Robocop-esque, like crazy yeah. violence, yeah. futuristic
and it's kind of,
stuff.
It's kind of like Grand futuristic. Theft Auto made. It's kind of like Grand Theft Auto made
it's,
into a movie.
It's
made
based in the 90s, 70
years
the
after. They all have laser sights on all their guns.
I know. The guns always make me laugh. And they always too, but laugh. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
But yeah, and then Predators is like a horror
cube.
Movie.
It's Cube.
It's Cube, yeah. It's, cube. Yeah. It's a horror movie. And then The Predator is kind of like a J.J. Abrams gone a little bit violent.
Because
I got a very Super 8.
Yeah, the conceit of the idea of The Predator is that you can drop this sort of creature in anywhere because it's meant to be a creature that's hunted many worlds over like many years. Yeah. And so it can survive in a variety of situations. And like the idea is that it's attracted to conflict. So the fact
heat
that it can
and conflict.
Heat and conflict.
You know what would be really interesting?
But not all the time. There's conflict.
Yeah.
If there was like a Predator movie and it was just set on a completely alien planet, there were no human characters, the whole thing had subtitles.
Like a foreign
like a foreign
Predator
film. Right.
Even better, no subtitles. Just the
but it's really interesting as a franchise because like every other franchise has kind of been hammered and they keep doing one at least every couple of years. Whereas Predator, it was
87,
1990, the AVPs, which are like mid
2004, 2007,
and
then
2010 for Predators, yeah. and then 2018. So there's like these really giant gaps between them.
Which kind of like that's how they act with the story. It's like, oh, what in this time works with this story, with this creature?
Because yeah, even in Predators, like, they don't mention Predator 2, but they mention 1987 this incident in the jungle and all that.
Because in 1997, the only Mexicans around were really racist stereotypes.
And also, it's a weird, like futuristic LA that's like doesn't make sense in the timeline now.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. What I love is the fact that it could be so inconsistent. I'm really disappointed they didn't go more inconsistent because each one is just dropping this alien in the situation.
Get like one in black and white and French just
That'd be great. Are you kidding
Le Predator.
Well, no, I really because of the end of the second one, I really want to see a Western. A Western against the Predator. Because
that gun's actually a pirate's gun. So it's, actually set on the sea.
Oh, well,
oh my God, a pirate movie.
That would be great.
Like a pirate movie, a Western movie, and then like, wouldn't it be interesting if there was like a really future one and the Predator is now like the outdated tech?
Well, yes, that'd be cool.
See, that's kind of what the Predator was. But that's what I love about the Predator franchise is whenever you introduce this character, it's been 10 years, so things have advanced for these aliens, so they get a little bit more tech. From the first one to the second one, they got those spinning disc things,
and you know
and they got different
and
vision.
That's funny, because that's behind the scenes wise, that was because Stan Winston had more time to design things for them. They actually wanted to do that for the first movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Well, I really liked very good. And then with Predators, they specifically bring that up. They say that they come back with new tech. They're always evolving. And then that's like the entire
process. Always in freeze.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so let's look at Predator 1.
Yes, the greatest action film of all time.
Directed by John McTiernan.
Really?
Yes.
Do you genuinely think that better than Die Hard and or...
I think it's better than Die Hard.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I don't want to. We might be a bit biased.
Look, okay.
We were a bit biased. We were brought up on these films.
See, I feel like, look, I can watch the first one and I can be like, I get exactly why it did, especially at the time it was. It was in that transition between the 70s style and the 90s style.
Yeah.
And the other 80s action movies had kind of been a little more one way or the other, and this is the first one that's just like gung-ho. Although, isn't it meant to be a satire?
It is. John McTiernan.
It doesn't play like a satire.
That was the problem. No one thought it was a satire at the time. John McTiernan has said that the shootout scene where they're firing all their weapons, that was making fun of all those sort of action films.
And also, it ties into the story as well.
Yeah, it does.
Because of like they're firing in all directions. It's like, it works on multiple levels.
Levels, man.
Levels.
But I'm putting on and I'm like, some of it, specifically as an action movie, I found the one sequence where they blow up, where they all sneak up on the base and they just blow up before they think it's there's a predator
not
or anything.
Shot by John McTiernan, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he hates that scene.
Well,
I don't remember that.
So that's the opening scene because everything's shot on sticks. Mm. And he's like, I wouldn't do it like that. Every shot is still. When they enter that base, it's like moving shot, moving shot, moving shot. And then as soon as the attack starts, because you have the shots right before it where it's like the close-up on the guy crawling, Arnie walks in the shot, shifts focus to him. Mm. And then as soon as they actually infiltrate the base, it's just sticks, 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 sticks. I only know this.
It was
this.
My favorite scene in the movie.
I thought you were going to that.
Because I don't know why, but like, because I know John McTiernan's style from Die Hard, from a couple of the other ones, like, it's not that. Predator is very not that. There's not a lot of clear geography. I think it's hampered by the fact that the background is just forest.
Forest, yeah.
And so you kind of can't set geography.
They shot the entire film on an angle as well. Like, everyone's always
on a hill. But, like, all of the action parts of it, although, actually, no, I do quite like the final showdown.
Yeah. A lot.
That's great. Especially, like just the lightning.
The body covered in mud.
Actually, that's what I realized when I'm watching this movie. I miss sparks being used in action movies.
Not real explosions, just sparks explosions.
Sparks, yeah. Right? Sparks. And, like, when bullets hit things, things spark. They don't just...
Skipping ahead to 3 and 4 movies, did you notice that in Predators, there were sparks.
And in the Predator, there were sparks. I know. I was watching it. I'm like, yes.
Bring back sparks,
why
people.
No? Make sparks great again. Master.
Hashtag.
I don't know. Like, I'm watching it without the lens of nostalgia. And I'm just kind of like, it's okay. I get it. But at the same time, I think there are better action movies from that period.
Yeah.
AKA Die Hard. Die Hard is much better choreographed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a limitation because they were very clearly, you have to admire that the Predator was shot on location.
For 90% of it. 90%, yeah. Also, the fact that Predator used a second unit director, I'm pretty sure Die Hard didn't because John McTiernan was like, no, after Predator, never do it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Wait, what year was Die? No, because Predator was
87, before. 89.
Yeah. Predator was
Die Hard 89?
88.
87.
They're both 87.
Yeah.
They're both eight. He made those two movies in the same year.
Well, let me just check that out.
Because I know for a fact that they wanted him, John McTiernan, back for Predator 2, and then he's like, no, I'm doing Die Hard.
Unless he did Die Hard with a Vengeance, but no. Because he did Die Hard and Die Hard with a Vengeance. He didn't do Die Hard 2.
Yeah, I know. But they wanted him back for Predator 2, which was released in the 1990s, but it was probably shot in 89.
So Predator 2 is 1990 on the dot, which means it was shot before.
Yeah, 89. Yeah. So.
Die Hard is 1988.
Yeah.
Predator is 1987.
Yeah, so they're in pre-production on Predator 2.
Can you imagine doing
those
two films back-to-back? That's a pretty shockingly good
run.
Now
you know why I love John McTiernan.
Still not as good as E.T. and Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's fair. Back-to-back, 1982, 1983.
Yes, we understand.
Now, Shane, you said before that you felt that Predators... plural is the only actual horror film in the franchise.
Yeah.
See, I would argue that the first Predator is a horror film. It's got all the tropes of a slasher film, but instead of teenagers fucking, it's bulky men fucking
who are meant to know what they're doing and then they freak out because it's good.
So it's kind of like Alien in the sense that Alien is a slasher with truckers
in
space.
That's how they pitched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they pitched
Whereas
it.
This is a slasher with the bulkiest men in Hollywood.
But. Predator, I would say that in the barer sense of the word, in that it's a group of people being killed off one by one till the last one's left for a final showdown. But other than that, that is the only thing that...
The script is very much a horror, but it's shot for action.
Mm. But what else other than that? Because like the whole opening the opening sequence up to the mission and all that, that's a war movie.
That's a war movie.
See, I feel like it's a war movie with that little bit of the killed off one by one because outside of killed off one by one, there's no real
because it flips
horror movie. But there's no other horror movie
like
sort of
the
tropes.
Gore and stuff. Jump
gore is action. See, but there aren't jump scares. Were there?
When the
skin body comes through and Billy finds the body.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That. Look, I can see it, but it's a stretch. Like, did you pull a bit of muscle doing that stretch there?
I cannot at all say that Predator 2 is a horror film in any way.
No.
No, but Predator 1's. Yeah. It's a stretch. I get it. but it's a stretch. Whereas Alien is very clearly using
Alien is very
clear. I consider Alien a sci-fi film using the trappings of horror.
Yeah.
Whereas to me, Predator is an action film with the trappings of a war film. Because this was very like the Viet Cong and all that kind of thing. If you've seen any
some of the actors were in
like
Vietnam
the movies
themselves.
That Tropic Thunder was taking the piss out of.
Yeah.
That's that. Like to a T. But anyway, I guess we should move on to Predator 2.
Wait, no, I didn't get to talk about the whole story of Predator with Van Damme.
Eh? Okay, talk about
that. Because you didn't know about Van Damme, and I was like, how do you not know about
Van
Damme?
The red monkey suit.
Red monkey suit. Well, it's more of a bug suit, if you look
at
it.
It was, and he was like, he's like 5'7" or something.
Yeah, so he's like lanking about this big. But did you look up the footage after I told you about it last night?
I did not.
Oh, it is hilarious. It's just funny. Because all the visual effects were done using either on green screens.
Oh, and also those have dated.
The visual effects.
Because I was talking to someone, he's like, no, it holds up. I'm like, no, the invisible Predator does not hold up. And even
it does when he grabs the foot of Hawkins. It like that looks really cool. And then drags him through to the bush. Mm. And then the rest of it, when it's like him just standing there and he's like,
when they're moving off on a tree, it just very clearly doesn't look right.
And also the fact that whenever he's invisible, he doesn't have hair, except for if he's just about to turn not invisible. Yeah. And that's because the red suits that they had didn't have the dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. So whenever he's a red suit in the jungle, where they use that warping effect to look like it's invisible, that's using a red suit without hair. Whereas whenever he's just about to transform back into being visible, they're using the real
Which
suit on
actually,
a green screen.
It looks so much better in Predator 2. There's a shot when he's in the apartment and then like he flips his head and the hair, you see the hair invisible flip. And I was like, oh my God, it looks way better.
But there the Predator is a vision, lot of stuff in Predator 2 with that red suit and it's annoying.
The Predator vision in Predator 1 is really dodgy.
That is
blurry
real,
as hell.
That's because that's a real infrared camera from the 80s.
But it's like if you're doing a movie, I mean, it's a movie. There's the bicep handshake, you know. This movie is not going for realism.
I like it. Whenever it fits the aesthetic.
Whenever Josh and I meet, we shake hands that way.
It's interesting though, between like at every movie, every movie the Predator vision gets like exponentially more detailed.
Well, that's because every movie, their technology evolves.
They've got like a decade. You know, see, number one and two, even that's just 3 years difference.
It's meant to be a decade, actually.
But it's a decade difference
in
movie.
No, but I mean, like, clearly the reason why it got quote unquote better in the movie is because the tech to make that look like. Because no one wants to just see a blurry image because that doesn't communicate anything to an audience.
Turn around.
Except it's like. But. Predator 2 now?
Yeah, let's talk about Predator 2. Okay.
Stephen Hopkins directed it.
Danny Glover fucks shit up for an hour and 46
Danny Glover's
minutes.
Character, I think, only survives by drinking bourbon and protein shakes or drinking meat, like eating meat.
He's also weirdly ripped in this
movie. Weirdly ripped and he's always sweaty.
He was also too old for this shit. What, 3-4 years ago in Lethal Weapon? Yeah. And now he is just...
But now he's afraid of heights and he has to fight the Predator.
He's afraid of heights sometimes.
Wait, because I'm watching the movie and that happened. Was I not paying attention?
No, the opening scene, he's like, Danny boy, grab me. I need to get out of here. He's like, and then at the end, he's like climbing down the pole and he's like, oh shit, not this shit again. I hate this.
But, that was weird. I was worried I'd like missed a big, like a Jaws moment where you're afraid of the water or something like that. But
it's not as cute as well.
I know. I've always seen Danny Glover as being like a 7-year-old nice man. Well, not necessarily nice. The Color Purple is a very big exception to that.
Yeah.
But he's always appeared to me as like an old man.
But he's a hunk and he's massive in this movie.
It's weird. It's like they took his head off and then put it on someone else.
He's got the baggiest pants in the world in this movie.
No, he does.
Yeah. It was a weird movie.
This movie's like an 80s like cliched fantasy movie where like the cop station's like rowdy as shit.
As soon as we got to the cop station, I was like,
and there's like hookers everywhere.
She's grabbing like other cops by the
balls.
Also,
Terrible movie. But have either of you seen 2001: A Space Travesty?
No.
It's a Leslie Nielsen parody film. It's completely terrible. I would never advise you watch it unless you have an hour and a half to where, you know, you might want to watch shit. But yeah, that entire scene is exactly like the moon police station scene in that movie where it's just completely ridiculous. There are strippers banging on windows. It is fantastic.
But also, this is such a cop movie because there is like half a dozen instances of "Damn it, Johnson!" like that kind of line where someone just yells at someone.
Damn it, Harrigan!
Like, yeah,
Harrigan.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like the chief policeman shouldn't be the chief? If anything, what do you call it? Danny Glover should be the chief policeman.
Actually, total sidebar. But have you noticed within like the last 20 years, every police show, every fireman show, the chief is black.
Except this one.
Everywhere. See, but then, like, I mean, in the last 20 years, this movie, that movie is like more than 20 years
ago. 27 years ago. 28, sorry.
Every police chief is black. I don't know why. Every TV show, not movies necessarily, although often in movies, but I don't, it's just a weird thing. Anyway, back to Predators.
Back to Predator 2. So what did you guys, because I know how Shane feels about this, because he was texting me the whole time.
Fair enough, yeah.
Josh, how did you feel about this movie? Because you had a very special connection with this movie, didn't you?
Well, yeah, it's like essentially I watched the first movie itself, like early 2000s. Like I loved it and I was like, oh, there's Predator 2. I really want to get it. My uncle sends me the DVD in the mail. I opened it and it's already open. I'm like, oh, okay. And he writes a note inside and he's like, it's not as good as Predator 1. It's not executed as well, but it's still a weird time. Be careful with this movie. I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, this movie's weird. And now rewatching it only like earlier this week, I'm like, this movie is weird. But
so not much has changed.
No, not really. But I think I appreciate some elements more.
Why didn't you either of you prep me for it? I was I was going Predator, blind. But just I thought for some weird reason I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Predator 2.
Oh no,
no, he didn't want to come back because he didn't like the director.
Yeah,
he didn't like John McTiernan
or no,
he didn't like
Stephen Hopkins. Yeah,
what has Stephen Hopkins gone and done?
Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
I thought you said the other one. Oh, no, wait, that's a different one. It's in Nightmare on Street 4, which is Freddy's
one.
Dead.
No.
Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead is number 6. Number 4 is the Dream
Warriors is 3.
No, 3. Dream Master. No. It's the Dream Master. No. Dream Child is number 5.
Yeah. I feel like I understand why people will be turned off this movie because it is batshit insane. Like,
injected
with the cocaine of the 90s and 80s.
So like, I have to say, more blocking in the first action scene than I saw in a lot of the action stuff from Predator 1
I appreciate some camera movement, like some camera and some inspired lighting. There is some interesting
moments.
Like,
some.
That's what I know. I feel like
because the movie's so weird. It's so weird, so it could do like interesting stuff with it.
Is that the first instance of like the final showdown's done in a really different atmosphere thing? Because that's it's a really common trope in a lot of action movies now is that it's the final showdown and it's like where it's the sprinklers are on, so it's all raining. So like the Equalizer it's all raining in the final of the Equalizer.
Not sure of it.
In like a darkened shot.
I'm gonna say yes, it's the first time you've heard it here ever. Today, guys. Ever.
We know this for a fact.
I personally love some things about the movie. Yeah. I love the setting. I love the fact that they went from jungle to city. Especially because the city is now kind of become synonymous with the Predator, with the video game Predator Concrete Jungle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some of the comics were based in it and stuff. And
yeah,
the idea of the juxtaposition between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city is a jungle.
It's a concrete jungle.
Where dreams are made of.
Can we talk about how sweaty everyone looks?
No, can I? That's what I was saying. Like, there's a line where it's like he comes to the meat factory every 2 days to feed. I'm like, is that Danny Glover or the Predator? Because he has meat sweats through the entire movie. Like, you know that scene in the graveyard when he leaves the necklace on and he's like completely dry.
It's like,
and then
it's
he
like,
turns around with the gun and he's like drenched.
Do you reckon that's deliberate or just they lit it and everyone was sweaty and they couldn't?
No, that was definitely deliberate because that's the one consistency between the first three movies.
Can you imagine being the sweat person on that movie?
I feel like in the first
one it was real because they're in a fucking jungle.
Yeah. Whereas this one they were like, there's a heat wave. It's the hottest heat wave in LA. It's hot. What's the news report called? Hardcore?
Oh, yeah. It's hardcore.
God.
We're like '90s, like literally. Yeah. Like,
oh, and what was with Bill Paxton's character in this movie?
Bill Paxton's character was Shane Black's character in the first one.
Yeah.
But all Bill he Paxton did was tell li- dirty jokes.
But Shane Black's character looked like it was a very obvious, oh, he's a guy who tells dirty jokes, but then they never really fly.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it was like, it felt like the movie was trying to tell you that what he's saying is funny, but none of
he's
it
he's meant
was.
To be the overconfident rookie, but he's not a rookie because he's a lone wolf. Yeah, he's a lone wolf. Like, and
he's
people.
Way too tall for that role.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the casting in this film is odd. And oh, yeah. I think that he was just cast in Predator 2 because of Aliens.
Yeah.
Because that entire showdown in the meat factory, straight out of Aliens. Like, exactly the same, where he's like, go in there. They're all around you. And then they're like, no, and then the main person,
on the train, he's like, he sacrifices himself because he's like, oh, yeah, no, that, in the dark and everything.
Yeah.
A sidebar about stealing sequences on my What Have You Been Watching? The Nun. You know, you've both seen Silent Hill, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the nurses sequence?
Oh, yeah. Really?
They do that like beat for beat where someone has to like walk through. It's just, it's nuns with like hoods over their head and they all like, and they turn.
So there's more than one scary nun? So it should have been
called. There's a bunch of ghost nuns. No, there's one main nun that's evil, and there's
like
a bunch of ghost nuns
the
who, for the most part of the movie, you think are real, but then they're kind of not, but then they are, but then they're kind of not.
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, it was like lifted that scene. I'm watching that, and I'm like, and everyone in the audience is going, ooh, every time there's a crack. I'm like, you're fucking ripping off Silent Hill, you bastards.
I feel like a lot of Predator 2 was ripping off other things. Heat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I said that to you. Yeah, I feel like Predator 2 was watched by like a guy who's like an amateur filmmaker who thinks he's like hot shit, and he watched Heat and he's like, ugh, that's overrated. I can do better than this. And then he tried to pitch it everywhere and no one wanted an original thing, but they're like, well, we've got Predator 2 coming out. You're like, fine, I'll just do that and I'll just stick the Predator
but
in the middle.
It's written
of this
by
movie.
The same two guys who wrote the first movie.
John really? And Jim.
Yeah. With John and Jim.
John and Jim.
Good old John and Jim. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I
didn't know that until I rewatched it recently.
Say written like there's a script in this one, and I kind of feel like there was.
They did a loose outline and they're like, yeah.
Here you go. Fill in the gaps.
It was like the Larry David approach, but they did it to an action movie.
Can we talk about Gary Busey?
Oh,
Gary Busey!
His first movie after his accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you can kind of see it.
What is his accent? What?
Yeah, like a car or motorbike accent, and that's why, like, and then that's why he's a bit like he's. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
have you seen Gary Busey recently? Because this is.
I've only seen Family Guy's parody of Gary Busey recently.
You've seen Gary Busey then.
Yeah.
This is the most tame I've ever seen Gary Busey.
He's pretty tame.
Because like I've seen Gingerbread Man. Mm. I've seen what's it called? Lethal Weapon.
And he's playing. He's in Point Break as well.
Yeah, he's in Point Break.
No, he's meant to be like a military, like higher up, like guy. He's like hunting the predator. He's like tame as shit.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
So do I. And then Danny Glover is just insane. He's like he's whacking people. One. He's destroying his own car. He destroyed 11 cop cars.
Why? At what point does Danny Glover not just go fuck this shit? I'm out. Like he never has like a reason to stay and do anything.
Because his best friend gets killed and he wants to hunt it down.
Yeah, because when Danny Boy dies, he's like this motherfucker's mine.
His last name's not Danny Boy, but he calls him Danny Boy.
Yeah, so I know.
I just want to keep calling him Danny Boy. That's his last
name. I only know him.
I completely
Danny Boy,
forgot about that character completely, and I watched that movie like. 2 days ago.
He snuck in to
He
get
told
that
him
little...
not to, and he's like, I'm just going to sneak in anyway.
Yeah, he's like, wait for me, Danny boy. Good old Danny boy.
The pipes were calling, apparently.
Yeah.
It's such a weird movie. Just overall.
It's very bizarre. And once you see Nightmare on Elm Street 4, you'll be like, yeah, this makes sense. Predator 2 context.
What's the reaction at the time for Predator 2? Was it really panned critically? Or?
I'm pretty sure it was. I like because I know people still make.
I feel like that's out. Like the key reason as to why another one wasn't made at the time.
Yeah,
no one liked it. Yeah,
it was like I know people
did
liked,
it tank at the box office.
I'm not sure. I know people liked the scene with the alien skull, obviously, because
yeah,
like,
well, yeah,
because the comics were going
comics.
The comics are going really strong at the time, so they're like, ah, oh, freaking out and everything, but don't know about the actual critical analysis of it.
Well, I'll try and Google that. But. Yeah, it's a weird movie. It's a weird movie. And it sets
bizarre.
Up the basically no real plot until like the last 10 minutes where they finally go, oh, we've been chasing this thing for a while.
I do love the, you know what, I realize, you know in Alien vs. Predator Requiem, the blue acid thing he melts?
Yeah.
That's actually
in
Predator 2.
It's the same in Predator 2, yeah.
And everyone's like, that's the first time.
That's Healy stuff for him. He
why
melts
does he have to use
break
walls?
He melts it, cauterizes it.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
And then they're cool. Like in Requiem.
But why couldn't he just do that with flames? Like, I don't understand why he had cooler, to get... I don't know why he had to find, like, alabaster from the rubble that he just crushed, then crush up the alabaster, then put a liquid on it to set it on fire, which then turns it into a gel, which then he smears on it. Why because was it, like, a six-step process?
Otherwise, Danny Glover would not have caught up to him.
So, it only made $57 million at the worldwide box office, which is not that
good. Well, I'm going to call it the Brother Strassen, because they're like, oh, we're the first time using... This is a new thing. Like the
It's straight up in Predator 2. Yeah, so they lied. I thought it was a reference to Predator 2, because it's specifically the same color. Yeah,
well,
they lied.
Yeah, so it made about half of the box office of Predator 1, and Predator 1 was done on $15 million at the time, which is somewhere in the realm of about $50 million in today's money. So, that's interesting.
Predator 2, one last note.
Yes.
No, forgot it. Let's go on.
Okay. Alien vs. Predator, very briefly, because I didn't watch these ones.
Let's go to Antarctica. At the point, you said to me recently how you believe these two crossover movies are more alien movies.
I feel like they're more alien movies. Yeah. Well, the first,
hadn't seen Predator at that time when you had said that.
Did I? I don't know. Well, I just because I was under because the way you guys describe Predator as being this really big action movie, and that's not what Alien these two
movies.
Predator
I feel
is.
I agree with you on the first one. The first movie is more of an alien movie just because of its location and how it's set up and everything.
But also, it's about a mythology kind of thing.
And Alien vs. Predator is more of a Resident Evil film.
That's correct.
Yes. But let me carry on this point here.
Yeah, and
then AVP Requiem is more of a Predator movie just because of how it sets up its narrative and everything.
Oh, Predator 2 set up. Did Predator 2 do that as a joke and then it spurned Alien versus Predator?
Kind of. What? It was like.
So the alien skull is in the
reference
ship.
To the comics because they were strong at the time.
The comics weren't out at the time, were they? I thought they were just the Predator comics and the Alien comics. No. And then once that came out, Dark Horse combined the two.
No, I think the first issue was out at least. There was one of them. Okay. The crossover's already like out. People knew about it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was going to say, I'm like, did they just do it as a joke? And then everyone's like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, oh shit, let's make this a movie.
No.
Let's make this
two
movies.
Well, they're both owned by 20th Century Fox. So yeah. Like, why not?
Are they? Oh, yeah.
Well,
they
that's why.
So now they're Disney movies.
And now they're Disney movies.
Yeah, so now the Alien Queen is a princess. And the Predator is... Prince Handsome? I don't know. No. Prince Handsome Charming, that guy.
Can't wait for the musical reboot of both of these.
Yes.
Though. I'm actually all for that.
So Alien vs. Predator 1, I remember actually liking it when I first saw it, but I've never had the desire to go back and rewatch it.
It's, to me, the same as the first Resident Evil film. I'll watch it. It's fine. I'll
enjoy it. Literally, it's,
I just remember the pyramid thing at the
like
start.
Like, rewatching it,
that.
It is goofy as shit, and it's fine. Most of the characters die, and you don't really care.
Like, yeah. I was talking to Josh about this downstairs. Alien vs. Predator, the whole thing I love about the Predator is each time they come back with new technology and they bring that up in Predators. But in fucking Alien vs. Predator, they specifically show, you know, 2,000 years ago in Aztec times, and they have the exact same stuff. And I'm like,
it's not good.
Oh, come on, guys. You were doing well.
Predators age slower.
I mean, maybe, but they've got the same technology. And in the last 30
years...
They do
age slower. They actually live like 1,000 years.
But maybe humans have accelerated, but humans haven't accelerated to that level of technology. Ergo, what if the rest of the alien world hadn't really accelerated that
much? The technology seen in the Aztec times of AVP weren't seen in the first Predator. They were seen in Predator 2, though.
But also, that jungle hunter, he was just going really light. He wasn't keeping. Okay. Kids, remember in AVP they're unblooded, so they need all that tech, and all, that's why they have. They're so bulky because they have all that armor and all that tech because they're.
But also,
inexperienced.
I want to see
and
a Western where they've got
fishnet gay club costume. Like if you put a Predator costume just on a person, it would be the gayest thing. It's like a jock strap and fishnets.
You know what? My girlfriend mentioned that. She's like, they are all sex machines with all their fishnets.
Right?
I thought you were going to say, you know what? My girlfriend wears that, so let's not talk
this
about
it. It's like, but legitimately, it's like a leather bar outfit. There's like the shoulder pad, a jock strap, and then fishnet along the chest
I've always
and arms
said
and legs.
The Aliens and Predator franchises are like the gayest gay porn around because aliens are literally penises and predators are gimp suits. Well, not
him. But Predators have the vagina mouth.
Yeah, they've got the.
So,
well, that's why
it's a
porno.
Little more hetero.
That's why they call them pussy face.
Yeah, they call them pussy face in
Predator
2.
Pussy face in Predator 2. Yeah. But was the mouth of the Predator like exactly like that? I feel like they changed the design to have that inside the mouth.
What they did, they changed the skin tones because they're like, oh, it's the same species, but you know, everyone has different. Like things about
he's
them.
Got so a bit of a tan.
He's
the black version of a Predator.
He's got a tan. They added like more spikes and they changed his head. Around, but otherwise his face is like still the same.
It's still the same vagina.
What I hate about AVP was they made the Predators look really friendly.
Yeah, like, that was because they became friends.
I was like,
enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Can't they just be fucking still ugly as shit. I want them to still look like predators and not these friendly, weird. Like, because they made their skin tones like human skin tones. And then they made their eyes really soft.
Well,
and then the mandibles just like, nah.
But what I like about
it might be canon. Wait, isn't it canon? Yeah, it's officially canon.
I told it to Josh downstairs.
And I was just like, I don't mind because the thing I could explain about it is that they're young again, but I'm just like, I don't want to keep stretching this. I don't want to keep making excuses.
It's funny because AVP is only canon in the Predator franchise, not the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
Which is truly
the
bizarre.
The crossover includes one movie, but not the other
series.
But then
AVP breaks the Alien franchise anyway, so it doesn't really,
I mean, so did Covenant and Prometheus anyway.
Anyway.
But yeah, in AVP, I'm still frustrated at the fact that they perfectly set up the story in the comics where a woman is attacked by aliens, she ends up helping the Predators, and she runs off and becomes a Yautja, which is the name for the Predators. Yep. She becomes like
she joins a hunting clan.
Yeah, exactly. And you see like the front cover is like her in like that fishnet
gimp
gear.
She's in the original first crossover, like for the first issue. Yeah. And then she comes back in 2010, there's a series about bad blood predators, which are predators who are ousted from the society because they don't adhere to the code.
I didn't read past 2010. I was reading this when I was
in primary school. And then like they use aliens as attack dogs, kind of like predators, but like they... Yeah, and then she ends up joining back in the Predator Society to fight them as well.
Yeah, see, they perfectly set up this awesome story.
And that's what they wanted. They were referencing that, but then didn't.
And then Alien vs. Predator Requiem happened.
Which
we will not discuss.
Well, I want to bring up, because Alien vs. Predator Requiem is set, it's still in 2004, the same time.
Yeah, it's literally the next day. It is that day.
It's the next day.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just remember not enjoying that movie at all, and I don't remember a single
moment. You can't see most of the movie because they color graded the shit. Yeah. It's like, not lit properly. It's just,
And the Predalien, like, face fucks people, and then, like,
lays
gives,
the
like,
eggs.
A bunch, like, lays the chest bursters in their stomachs to a pregnant woman.
Because it's meant to be, like, a queen, yeah.
It's not no. Yeah.
So Predators, 2010.
Yeah.
Okay, Predators. This is an underrated movie. I like this movie.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good.
I saw it in cinemas with my now wife. She didn't remember until we were watching it the other day. She was like, hey, we've seen this. And I'm like, oh, you remember.
It was really exciting in the cinemas as well, especially the opening. It's like
the opening, I said this, I don't know if I came up with the idea. Like, I was like, oh, an idea where just the movie starts and someone's just falling. Mm. And I just thought it was really good. And I saw this thing, I'm like, damn it. But also, it works.
It does.
It's a really great way to immediately throw you into the middle of shit.
Yeah.
And then they just fucked it up with a bit of dodgy
CGI.
YouTube level CGI.
Yeah.
Well, it's Robert Rodriguez. What are you expecting?
I feel like looks better.
He was like, okay, here, you guys do these shots, these easy ones. I got this, man.
Well, he's credited as visual effects supervisor on that movie.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah, visual effects supervisor and producer. So, yeah.
But yeah, he, I think the movies, I enjoyed it much more this time when I watched it. When I watched it in 2010, I specifically was like, you went from city to jungle to to the Atlantic to suburbia to jungle again. And to be fair, it is an alien jungle.
And I I like that it expands the mythology of the Predator thing without too much like, we're stumbling upon a temple, let's read and decide.
Yeah,
things.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
There's the dogs. Okay, they have dogs. And then there's the other weird
and then
things.
He's like, there's a war. Like, there's a different clan that's at war with the other clan. It's like,
So you're setting up that clan thing that
tribal
they had in tribal,
thing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, watching it this time, I really liked it.
I liked it enough. I thought the front half is better for the most part than the second half. If not, like, visually it's pretty consistent, but narratively, I wanted more payoff towards the end.
I love, even though, like, I kind of knew they were on an alien world, I kind of like the build up to, like, them discovering that they're on an alien planet, because they think, oh, wait, the topography's all wrong, there's something wrong with this jungle, it's too hot here.
What is it, Adrian Brody says? The sun isn't moved.
Yeah, the sun hasn't moved.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Also, sweaty are they? They are dripping.
Yeah.
They are consistency.
Dripping.
Yeah. It was weird. I wanted more to the end than, let's find a way to get off this fucking planet.
I felt like the end didn't have as much payoff as I was hoping. The fight scene is cool, like when he's running back.
Topher Grace's turncoat thing was like, why?
See,
I really loved that
idea, because like the build up to it, I'm like, ooh, Topher Grace is evil. And then he's like, I'm going to stay on this planet and be with them. And I'm like,
They're just going to kill you.
Yeah. Gonna,
they brought you here to kill you.
It's kind of like the thing. But I like the fact that like the entire movie, pretty much up until that point, you're like, why did they bring Topher Grace? You've got all these. So it was because very the much cool thing Cube. Is- Because yeah, you're like trying is, to that's figure what I like, out
that's
why
what,
they're
that,
there.
And that's why it's most horror. It's very much the Cube setup. It's let's get a group of different people, all very specific people with their specific talents, put them in a situation they have to work together.
You know what's tough? So he could just be there as a medic, and then he's actually a serial killer.
Well, that's what you think.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought.
It was like, oh, he's a medic, and then he's like, oh, wait,
but
I'm
he didn't
evil.
Do anything medical whatsoever.
He spouted off a bunch of... You know,
medical
exposition.
This is science. This is science. If you do this, science.
I think we have to talk a little bit about Adrian Brody because he does not. Well, look, that was reason two, but he doesn't. As an actor, I never thought he could do the gravelly voiced, gung ho, macho action lead. He nailed it. I'm that is not an
archetype. Realistic too. He's not too bulky. He's like lean. He's like he fits into it really well. Yeah. I really like
the only thing that ever sticks out is like his ears, and they're just like, especially with the buzz cut, you're just kind of like those ears don't match the rest of you. But it was like I was like shit. He has way more range than I thought.
Yeah, I remember when the movie was coming out. That was one of the huge criticisms. They're like, why have you got Adrian Brody in an action film? And then you watch the movie and you're like, that's why you have Adrian Brody in an action film.
Yeah, exactly. And why does he work? But has he ever done a comedy? Does anyone know if he's done a comedy?
I'm going to keep, you guys keep talking.
Okay. I swear he's done like terrible comedies before.
He should do like a good one, like an Edgar Wright movie. Oh, he would be great in an Edgar Wright movie. But anyway, like
The Pianist, that was pretty funny, right?
What?
The Pianist?
No.
I haven't seen it. You guys tell me. Oh, what do you call it? The
Are
Grand
Beauty. Saying Jesus about The Pianist is also weirdly funny and inappropriate.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, he is too. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and he's in other Western.
Oh, he's in a movie called Dragon Blade. Oh my god,
Dragon Blade.
He plays Tiberius.
But anyway, Predators. It's good. I think it's a good popcorn movie.
It is. Yeah,
he's in a heist film called American Heist.
I haven't. Even
heard. Oh god, he's in inappropriate comedy. It's that stupid fucking movie 42 bullshit where it's all
movie
about
movie 43.
Yeah. So it's like movie 43, but it's all about apps. Oh my god, why is he in there?
No, dear god. Well, anyway,
coerced into it.
I rate Predators around about the same as I rate Predator in terms of enjoyment. I enjoy it more, but I can see that Predator 1 is probably a better made movie.
Yeah, I know Robert Rodriguez wanted to make it more like the original Predator. That's why it's set in the jungle again.
Yeah, which they kind of ridiced it. Where they went, really unique, interesting idea, expand the world, and then they were like, oh, let's go back to make the first movie
again. Second one's too weird. Let's go.
Like, I knew from the beginning that the ones that were left were going to be Topher Grace, Adrian Brody, and the girl.
And that's one of the things that I liked about the first one, and not so much about this one, is that it is very telegraphed who's going to be surviving till the end.
But is it deliberately telegraphed, do you reckon?
Maybe. Is it? That's the question.
It's not. It's just we know the film so well.
Because I don't think Predator 2, I knew who was going to survive. I assumed Bill Paxton was going to be one of the last ones to die. And oh, you know what? A Predator 2 set up, the fact that she was pregnant and he didn't kill him.
Yeah.
That comes back in the Predator franchise. And that's what I was going to say about Predator 2. Every film, they have a moment in the movie when they're like, oh my God, they're only hunting people with guns. Predator 1, it works. Predator 2... It was like a bunch of civilians all pulled out guns and started shooting the Predator, and that's why all of them died.
That's more satire again, because everyone's on a train with guns.
So I love that. I love the satire. And then Danny Glover walks in and is like, they all had guns. And I'm like, bullshit, you did not figure that out by just walking in and being like, oh yeah, they've got guns. This guy shoots people with guns, just don't have a gun.
It's because Danny Glover is the greatest detective ever.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Anyway, The Predator, 2018.
Mm-hmm. Shut your ears, Josh.
I know enough about the movie.
Within the first, 20 minutes, there is more plot than the entire Predator franchise in the lead up to it.
I cannot disagree with you there.
I think it also did a better job at making you care a little bit more about the other characters. Even Predator 1, I'm like, I don't care about any of these people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I cared more about Adrian Brody and What's-Her-Face and Predators than I did any other character in that franchise until The Predator.
But even then, I didn't care about all of them. I just cared about some of them.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the main guy. Who the fuck is the lead guy?
I've never seen that lead before.
Is that Boyd Holbrook from Logan?
Sure.
The blonde one?
Oh, yeah.
He's the villain in Logan.
Yeah, oh, he's okay. One of your people, Josh.
Blondes?
Yes, blondes.
Sure, one of my people.
I thought my favorite characters were Olivia Munn's character.
Yeah.
And Trevante Rhodes' character.
Also, kudos to Olivia Munn, champion.
Yes.
Which
yes.
one's the kid?
Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay.
I really liked him in this movie. I know he was in some fucking terrible film that I'm gonna look up while you guys keep talking.
He's in Room and Before I Wake. Both are really good movies. Yes. But I thought it's a very, it's a tonally consistent movie. It feels a little bit more like an adventure movie. Again, it's even more different to any of the other Predator movies before it. Again, it's much more science, exposition heavy.
It's very much a science film because it's a specific sci-fi film. It's specifically a sequel to Predator 2.
So
it's all about that whole idea that they brought up in Predator 2 of these people trying to hunt the Predator, and this is a sequel to that of they've got the Predator.
Yeah. I think it's, I rate it about the same as Predators. I think it has its strength. It has a lot of weaknesses. It's funny. I think everyone said it was hilarious. I was like, it was not as funny as everyone made it out to be, but not deliberately. Like, mm-hmm. it felt like it had the amount of comedy it intended.
And how did all the soldiers like work? Like,
well, the soldiers are different in that they're not. They're, a bunch of them are crazy.
Mm. But how do the dynamics work in a film? Isn't like anything.
I love the dynamic between about four of the main characters, because there's seven main characters. Mm. I love the dynamic between about four of them, and then there's an Irish guy, and I'm like, he's going to die first because I do not give a fuck about you.
Yeah. It's, and
every time he says something, I'm Alfie like, oh, right, he's the Irish one.
Played by Alfie Allen. Brother of Lily Allen from Game of Thrones. Yeah. Not Lily Allen's not in Game of Thrones. He's in Game of Thrones. Yeah, he's Theon Greyjoy. Anyway, it's like, I think the action's done relatively well. A lot of the they have a lot more big CGI moments that fill it, but they're good.
Hmm.
I thought there's this certain thing where they're hanging onto a ship while it's taking off and all that stuff. And that was better than in Alien Covenant when they're on
absolutely.
Because I'm like watching that and I deliberately went to that scene in Alien Covenant with the
alien on the side of the ship.
The alien on the side of the maintenance ship, whatever the fuck it was.
And they got the little like crazy
and they're hanging on. Like, and it's basically a sequence like that in The Predator, and it's done much, much better.
I also thought the guy who dies in that scene, I thought he was going to die early on as well because I did not really care about him.
Yeah.
He was kind of like a lone wolf in the whole situation because...
But they kept trying to connect him to the Olivia Munn character.
Yeah,
so
but
I guess...
like in a creepy way that was like, no, she's not gonna.
Yeah. But like and this has a lot of good use of that and so thing
which is all Shane Black. Shane Black is all about the setting up things and so this happens, but this happens, therefore this happens, but this happens. Reversals.
And it has very good reversals spattered throughout, just even in little moments, which I really appreciated. And I mean the moment with the kid in the helmet.
Oh god, that was
one of my favorite moments.
See, like half of me is like, everyone knows that he just killed someone, right?
Yeah.
And he is cool with that. Fuck me.
Because I thought the kid was going to cry about it.
Same.
I thought there was a scene where he's like, you kill people. And I thought he's going to have a conversation and bond with his dad over murdering someone. And then he doesn't. I'm like, this kid's a sociopath.
Well,
yeah.
Asperger's.
Asperger's sociopath. Oh, the bullying scene was so like Asperger. I was like, some of that was really kitschy.
When they said Asperger, it took me so long to know what they were talking about. I'm like, are they gay for him? Is that what's happening? Because they're like,
it's delicious.
And I'm like, they're going to eat his ass? What sort of bullies are these?
They're the Rimjob bullies.
The Rimjob clan.
When I first heard that, and then it took me like half a second because he's going like smacking his ears.
Yeah, we both
like
connect because I heard you connect at the same time where we're like, oh, right, he's got Asperger's. Right,
gotcha.
You know, kids these days ready to eat ass.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
They're not progressive bullies.
Yeah, you're not a progressive bully unless you're eating ass.
That's it. So, and I would rate this one around about, I rate it around about the same as Predators, which is to say a little bit less than Predator. I understand that Predator is easily the best of the franchise.
Yeah.
I don't personally like it, but as it's objective as I can be.
Yeah, you don't like
the
franchise as much as Shots, don't I? Yeah. Which sounds
I do think that the jumping quality, because I agree with you. I think Predator, Predators, The Predator, Predator 2. I think the jump between Predator 2 to The Predator is a massive gap in quality compared to the jump between The Predator, Predators, and Predator.
Yeah.
But fuck that fucking title, am I right?
What title?
The Predator.
Oh, yeah.
It just, why?
Just call it Predator 4.
Oh, yeah. Why was it called The Predator? Because there was easily more than one.
Yeah, there was more than one Predator. And everyone I know who doesn't know shit about movies are like, when we bought the tickets, the guy was like, I don't get it. It's a reboot. And I'm like, no, it's a direct sequel. How do people not research things like that?
Why can't they just call it Predator 3, Predator 4, Predator 5?
Because we're nerds.
Because we're nerds. No, that's fair enough.
So, does this franchise, well, very quickly, do you think this franchise has a future?
Do we want to spoil what happens at the end?
No.
Josh, leave.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, they're trying for a future. They very clearly.
Yeah, they're trying for like a future.
I was expecting them to try for a future.
We're in a day and age where Bad Moms 2 and Daddy's Home 2 exist. True. Everything is trying to be a franchise.
Well, then it's got a future.
But does it creatively have a future? And I don't know. I reckon if they don't clamp down on some kind of consistency, it's not going to get there.
Well, the next one would have to be a war film. Like an intergalactic war film. It's the only way it could
work. That would expand the budget way too much.
But the...
spend $200 million and make a backstory about the mythology and the origin of the Predator.
See, I reckon that the...
Prometheus versus Predator.
God damn it.
Yuck.
The Predator franchise should do what I've always wanted, is you can drop this character in fucking anywhere.
Yep.
Put him on a pirate ship. Put him in the Old West. And they've got like less tech, so...
They experimented that with the Terminator as well. In the Sarah Connor Chronicles, like there's a Terminator in the Wild West that sits in a room for like years and they reactivate it in the present time.
That's fucking great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
I didn't watch all of that shit, but I like
season 2,
it.
I think. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I only watched
Because the Predator franchise, what this one sets up is a definitive goal for the Predators and a definitive end for the Predators. Mm. That's how it's going to go. You can't have anything but raising the stakes. The best way to raise the stakes is send it back in time, as in not physically send it back in time, send us the movie back in time because, to like the 1700s or whatever.
Humans aren't prepared as well.
Humans aren't prepared. They're like, oh, we got fucking Smith and Wesson's pa-chow against the fucking massive aliens.
We just got to
load
our guns.
Like an Apocalypto, but with a Predator.
Fuck yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That would be cool. And the whole thing's in subtitles. Black and white, like Roma. It'll win the Venice Film Festival.
I know back in 2008 when I think Predators was first announced, I used to be really big into the IMDb community board. Because I was a fucking wanker.
I was too.
Yeah, no,
I'd go on rants about the plot holes in District 9 on the
I know.
Amazing.
But yeah, like a whole bunch of us were trying to theorize ideas of what the next Predator could be. And I was ferment that it should be a prequel and it should be about what was that? Anyone know that ship that went out to sea and then it rocked up in shore completely empty and no one knows what's happened to it? It's a real story in the real world.
That's cool.
It's fucking creepy as shit. The Predator wiped them out. Boom, done. I wanted a Predator movie based on like a big ship in, I think it was the 1800s or early 1900s.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Like a spy ship, and it loses itself in fog, and they're like, we've lost track of like where we are, and then there's like,
It would be great. I stand by. If they want to do something, don't do do a prequel, but don't do a story prequel.
So it doesn't have a future. The franchise has a past.
Exactly.
And that's a good place to end it there. We're going to be looking at some other franchises, a little bit more horror-centric franchises.
Do you want to do
We're doing our top five. Letting our audience know. So what we've got coming up. So next week will be The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so that's five Omen movies.
Four plus a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing Elm Street, which is 8 movies, so 7 and a remake.
Yep, that's right.
And then
not doing the Nightmare on Elm Street TV series.
There wasn't a TV series.
There was. Google
it. Are we going to do Freddy vs. Jason?
No. No. I feel like, no. We're just going to look
I've got this short film that I liked in high school called Ghostbusters vs. Freddy.
Freddy vs. Ghostbusters.
Freddy vs. Ghostbusters, sorry.
You told me about it and I watched it and
it was so bad. About that that next week. I'll send you a link, Josh.
And then we're finishing up Halloween month with Halloween, which is 11 films long.
Can I ask, because that's going to be coming, that's going to come out around the same time the new movie comes out. So we're not going to be able to see the movie.
No, we are. We're going to queue it up so that it'll be on the
Cool. Because I was like, are we just going to talk about it the next week?
No. So, top five. Our top five is top five scenes from the franchise, and we'll probably do this as our top five throughout this month. So, I'll go first because I only have these five.
Yeah.
I got the final fight from Predator 1 as number 5.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Great,
love it.
Great
it was, and it was very well shot. I love the use of wides. I love the use of so much sparks and lightning and electricity. Yep. It's gold. Actually, I said this to you. I really love the look of old school electricity, like the optically printed electricity, like in Sith lightning.
Like in Predator 2 when he gets struck by lightning when he's holding up the pole.
He does that on purpose.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like, I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? Surely that completely fries your suit. It's cool.
Number 4 is the shield sequence on the top of the ship in The Predator.
Yep.
Which was a really cool, it's the best device, best use of a shield within, like, the mechanics of a shield that I've ever seen in a movie.
Absolutely. Even better than the Doom movie when an imp gets stuck in the door.
Oh, what?
I mentioned it when I did second take.
Oh, right. And it's a fun scene. Number 3 is the opening of Predators, because it's such a strong throw you into the middle of a sequence. Number 2 is Dirty Sexy Brody at the end of Predators.
I'm surprised that's not your number 1.
No, because my number 1 is ironic, funny considering the conversation we had about it. But no, like Adrian Brody is, I was sleeping on that shit.
We had a Twitter conversation and you were like, you're like Topher Grace.
Because I was like Topher Grace is weirdly attractive and I don't know why. And then he's like, are you watching Predators? I'm like, yes I am. And then I messaged him like 20 minutes later. I'm like,
wait,
change my mind. Adrian Brody, covered in mud, shirtless.
Let's get down and dirty, Brody.
Yes. It was a cool moment too, where he turns the tables, he bashes the shit out of the Predator. I thought it was a really cool moment.
That it was kind of repeating the moments from the first movie where he covers himself in mud. Which, by the way, I totally missed the part where they realized he had heat vision. Anyway, so
Isabel says like
she talks about Predator 1 in it.
But also all of
the traps from like the beginning that they dodged that the last guy set up are all the same traps from like Predator 1.
Well, yeah.
It's the army guys.
It was very obvious that character should have been Arnie, and then what's-his-face should have been Danny Glover. Because how much better would it be when he takes off his mask and he's like, oh, hey, I'm just some fucking guy. Hey.
No, he still says, I'm alive, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then my number 1 is when they storm the camp in Predator 1. Which is the one thing that John McTiernan hates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the reason he didn't use second unit ever again.
Josh, you
yes,
go.
So my honorable mention is the camp scene from Predator 1 where they storm at a camp and then everything else, because I love these movies. But honestly, number 5 is in Predator 2 when the city hunter teases Harrington when he lays like the necklace down, because I feel like it's a cool character moment for the Predator and like his prey, like he's teasing.
Yeah, he's teasing the prey.
Because he respects him and he wants to toy with him and get him to attack him. So he's like using that moment. Also in that scene, he also has a kid who has a toy gun and he's like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, wait.
That's plastic. You're right, kid.
I desperately wanted him to shoot the kid. I really wanted to
stick him with
Shane Black would have done it.
Shane Black
just blew up a stoner. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Number 4 is opening of Predators when they're assembling the team, sort of like when you introduce like everyone, like Walter Goggins
shooting at the wrong guy.
Yeah, Walter Goggins, Mahershala Ali, which I forgot was in this movie.
I know, right? Oscar winner Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. Number 3 is Royce and Co discover the camp, because that's when like you're like they discover the camp and then it's the classic Predator tied up and you're like, what the fuck's
going
on?
And Royce has just straight up disappeared.
I
fucking love that.
That tripped me up because I thought he was following and he's there and he says something and then
he looks at Isabel because she's like recognizes him and then he like steps back and you see him step back out of the frame.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome seeing. And number 2 is when Max shoots the jungle, because I love how it's a satire, but also how it references in the opening when Billy discovers he's like, they're firing in all directions. Like, why would I do that? And these are all trained soldiers. And then they scared for the first time. And they're just like, let's fucking tear down the jungle, deforestation. And then my number 1 is the face-off between Arnold and the jungle.
Yeah, cool.
Because like when he takes off his mask, you see what's underneath the mask for the first time. And he's like screams and he's like, oh shit. And it's going down. And then Arnold gets the shit beat out of him.
I wish that when Predator came out, I didn't know that an alien was there. Because how cool would that have been to go on that journey with the characters and realize it's an alien? I want to make that movie. Anyway.
Yeah, so your top 5, Chance.
My top 5, I've got one honorable mention. So I've done this a little different from you guys. I've taken one scene from each film and put them in order. These are not in the order in which I like the films. These are just in the order in which I like the scenes.
Okay.
So my number 6 is from Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Really?
I got nothing. Number 5, I'm just ignoring Alien vs. Predator Requiem. Number 5 is from Alien vs. Predator, and it's the team up when he like shows the acid on the skull, acid on the thing, gives it to the girl.
Plays with the inner mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mainly because that was setting up for me the comic books. And I'm like, cool, I'm excited, even if that never came to fruition. Number four is Danny Trejo's dead body in Predators.
Oh, that was amazing, yes.
When they all see his body and you just see...
That felt like something out of Annihilation.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And that was a great use of that Predator voice.
The vocal mimicry, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was really well done. Loved it. And it was creepy as fuck.
It was creepy.
Number three is from The Predator. It's Close Your Ears, Josh. It's when Keegan and Tom Jane, oh, what's his name? Fucking when they shoot each other.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I love that moment because they built up this friendship between the guys. They both die at the same time, but they're like both mutilated. So they end up killing each other. I just love that moment. It was really poignant. All right, I'm done. Number two is from Predator. It's specifically the moment where Arnie is going, kill me.
Come on.
What are you waiting for?
And then he like looks at the trip line. He's like, fuck you. I'm going to go around.
I see your shit.
I love that moment of the Predator realizing, and I love it. Ah, just great. And then my number one moment, which if you haven't done your maths, you wouldn't have known. It's Predator 2. It's the fucking gun that they give Danny Glover.
Yes, totally.
Because it sets up that entire thing's so cool. That never comes to fruition, hopefully, in the next movie.
Hopefully.
If I make it.
Well, that's all for our wonderful Predator.
You know what's a great Predator movie?
No.
My favorite Predator movie.
We're not going to shoehorn it into this month.
Red Curtain Hell. Now available on Vimeo On Demand. That's vimeo.com/on-demand/Red Curtain Hell.
Use the code PitchRanger to get 20% off your purchase or rental.
Sorry, that was my number six. My number six for the Alien franchise was from Red Curtain Hell, and it was the scene where the mum and dad kiss. Sorry, the mum and dad, the mum and Harrison son. Kiss. Yeah, mum and son kiss.
The incest.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's your kink.
Yeah. Oh, incest. God, yeah.
So your wife's sister, she's... So thank you all for listening. You can find us all on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Picture Rangers. Email us. We want to hear your questions. If you want to have a comment about any of the upcoming franchises, send us an email and we'll add it in at motionpicturerangers@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter where I'm sharing all of my thirsty tweets about Adrian Brody at ShaneM_Anderson.
They are great thirsty tweets. And you can follow me on Twitter at That's the Nance Katie or Caps and at Letterboxd Joshua Grigg.
You follow me on Instagram at TheChartStar. I don't have any thirst for Adrian Brody. Sorry, guys.
Well, get out.
It'll just be mean and Shane then. Okay. Shane and I.
Thank you all for listening. We have been the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers, and we'll see you again next week on our spooky week.
Want some candy?
Turn around.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.